The following is a brief discussion of the Peter Jarnes story, as told by Robert Brinsmead at the Institute at Ridgetown.
3 or 4 minutes. Those of you who are interested in Elder Jarnes, most of you maybe want to go and so on, but if you want to know about what happened up there in Union, how things at Lincoln College. I think most of you know that for some years, Elder Jarnes, who has been a Bible teacher for years, the chairman of the Bible department of Lincoln Union College, although not now at present, has been a believer in the sanctuary awakening message. And as a teacher, he has been teaching the principles of this message to his students at college. I think he told me some time ago he had, counting all the different students he had in his classes, he had as many as, I think, up to 400 in these different classes. And he said he never failed in an opportunity to bring the great issues of the hour before them. Also, Jarnes was a student under the late M.L. Andreasen. And years ago, many years ago, as a student under the teaching of M.L. Andreasen, he became a very earnest believer in the importance of the great sanctuary truth. Now, it was becoming more and more known among some of the officials of the school and of the conference of Jarnes' sympathy with the awakening message, which thing apparently came to a head when his son Norman Jarnes began publishing the Present Truth magazine. Norman was one of the leading graduates from Union College. He graduated in theology. And, of course, he and his father saw eye to eye and everything, but when his son began publishing the Present Truth magazine, the officials of the college and of Washington, the conference in Washington, began to ask him, where do you stand on these things? And more pressure was placed upon him, and he had a series of interviews with some of the officials of the General Conference. He had visits from Neil Wilson, Elder Pearson, Dr. Murdoch from Andrews University, and others. He appeared before different boards and so on, and on each occasion he offered the challenge to those that they study together from the Word of God to show where he was willing to lay any of his teachings on the line to be corrected by the Word of God and so on, but no, the challenge wasn't taken up. But finally, the conference in Washington and the brethren there asked him to present a statement, a written statement as to where he stood, and they particularly mentioned in reference to Robert Brinsmead. They wanted to know. He wrote a 5-page statement, which was placed in the hands of the officials at Washington. Following this 5-page statement, the executive board of the Union College was called together, which represented the conference president up there, the college president, and members of the executive board met. Also present was Elder Neil Wilson from Washington. They made a decision that Jarnes be dismissed as from August of this year, and that he be given 12 months severance pay. Although in 12 months more than 30-odd years of service would have been rendered, and he was eligible for sustentation. But this decision that was made by the executive of the board, the executive committee, had to be ratified by another board 2 weeks after that. What happened was that the news of this action had gotten out into the field. Ministers, Bible teachers, evangelists, different workers in the church, as well as lay people from all over the place, began contacting Jarnas, the members of the board, the general conference officers, some ringing up, some writing letters, others sending telegrams. With the result was that things were rather shaken up. Matter of fact, there were some individuals in the denomination who poked their heads up in the issue that we didn't really know, who were so interested. Surprising. There was one Bible teacher that I didn't know was interested in the awakening at all. That he said, if they put Jarnas out, I'll stand with him. They might as well put me out too. Another evangelist, who's quite a well-known evangelist in North America, he rang up, and he rang up Jarnas, and he said, I'm putting my credentials on the line with you, and I'm willing to make a stand. And he began ringing up different acquaintances in the ministry all over North America to let them know what was going on. So it was surprising the number of calls that Jarnas himself said he had. No doubt others in the denomination were getting calls too. The result was that by the time the board met again to ratify the decision, there were some changes in the direction of things a little. Elder Beach was president, present from the Washington Beach.
W.R. Beach.
Neil Wilson were present, as well as about a dozen members of the board. Also present there was a lawyer, I understand, who's a conference lawyer up at Lincoln. Now, Beach made a speech in which he brandished this 5-page statement of Elder Jarnas, and he took vigorous exception to one sentence in the 5-page statement. Whereas, because the officials had asked what was his relationship to me, Jarnas simply stated that he examined my teaching as found in my writing and had found nothing out of harmony with the Bible or the spirit of prophecy. Leach said that this was evidence that Jarnas was unfit to be in such a responsible position of training ministers for the denomination. And he pressed him on the point and hoped to embarrass him concerning this statement. He further said that it would be a great tragedy, or I don't know how he expressed it, but at least it would be very bad publicity for the church, or for the administration, really, if it got out into the field that one of the prominent ministers and Bible teachers of the denomination of more than 30 years' experience had made such a statement. And they dreaded such a statement getting out to the world field at large. Now, he was pressed hard on this point, and I think, seeing to what he said, the other members of the board who were present were rather waiting or expecting that perhaps Jarnas would sort of make a compromise on this. You know, often you say, well, you give a bet and I give a bet and so on. At least he'd draw this objectionable statement in the 5-page statement. So when Brother Jarnas was thus pressed into a corner over the statement which he made, he rose to his feet and he said, I have made the statement and I cannot move away from the statement which I have made, and on this statement I take my stand, on this objectionable statement that they underlined and point out. He said, on this, he said, I take my stand, I shall be tried. And then this threw things into a little consternation. But then it was seen that in order for any action to be taken, they would be bound to point out to him and to establish that he was teaching that which was contrary to the Word of God. They couldn't be found putting out a man in this position without such a hearing. So in discussion of this, it was arranged that a number of Bible teachers and scholars throughout North America be gathered together. Jonas would choose some, and the brethren from Washington would choose some. So Jonas nominated a number of names, which the brethren asked that he submit to them. And they promised, or they arranged, that there would be a proper hearing now of the matter, between now and the end of the year. The result was, of course, he was not dismissed as of August 1st. But things have been, you might say, kept on ice until the end of the year. So he has a leave of absence now. He's not in active employment. They asked him that he accept no preaching appointments anywhere except he gained permission of the I think it was the college president or the college board or the conference president, I forget which. But he made it known that as a preacher of the gospel, on the instruction given in the spirit of prophecy, that he could not accept these terms. And he notified them he could not abide by that. He'd have to be free to preach the gospel if he was impressed to preach the gospel in any area where he might be called. On this next 6 months, I think he will be preparing, in fact, already he is preparing a number of documents. Some on the board put up a spoke very much to Jonas' favor. I believe the lawyer was very upset about things and said, well, if Jonas is dismissed, he has to receive 5 years full pay, he said, and then sustentation for life. And that's what the law... Who's their own lawyer? He's a conference lawyer. But, so things are standing over now until the end of the year. Between now and the end of the year, there should be a hearing. If the brethren pull out of it, if nothing satisfactory is done, Jonah says then, he said, I will be conscience-free to take it to the church or take it to the people. Amen. He has all his documents ready to publish. Now, Jonah is not standing alone. There are a number of ministers and Bible teachers right throughout the denomination. Some of them are prepared to take their stand. Others are with him. Others are watching. Everything indicates it's a signal of that things are about to happen, really, right throughout our church. And we as a people have to re-evaluate our whole attitude. What are we going to do with Daniel 8:14? What are we going to do with the doctrine of the sanctuary? And I believe that right now, this year, we as a people and as an entire denomination are going to be brought to the point of decision whether we're going to go forward or whether we're going to go backwards. God is bringing his people to the point of final decision on the current issues in the church. And the Jonas case is really, by all appearances, is the signal that the whole denomination and the whole church must finally and openly make a decision. It can no longer be swept under the rug. It's come right out now into the open, and something has to be done. And we can thank the Lord that after just a few short years, in spite of all the opposition, in spite of all the cards stacked against the awakening message, of all the propaganda against it, of all the publishing houses against it, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. The weakness of God is stronger. The weakness of God is stronger than the might of man. And so this and other developments, of course, in the Advent movement, such as the news from Russia of how Romania, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, we see the awakening taking place all over the world among God's people. It's very, very significant. Now for a change of scene. I've just got done talking with Brother Bob at the Jewett New York Institute. It's just about 2 weeks after the preceding account of the Jarnas episode was given at Ridgetop, Tennessee. I sat opposite Brother Bob the 29th of August, I believe it was, in the dining hall and asked him about the latest news of the situation. He said he had talked with Elder Peter Jarnas on the phone just the evening before and had been told that the General Conference brethren were now determined to avoid any encounter with or in a committee where Jarnas and his friends would present their case. The conference position then is to dismiss Jarnas, brush the whole thing under the rug, and keep it all quiet. Elder Jarnas has his position as a teacher of the awakening, side by side with Brother Brinsley, all ready to publish to the whole church on a worldwide scale, unless they come across with the full-scale showdown at headquarters that they demanded. The General Conference men gave Elder Jarnas permission to choose some of the members of the committee which would represent his position. This seemed real fair on their part, but when it came to a showdown, they refused to go ahead. Elder Jarnas, taking the place of Paul when jailed at Philippi, declares that the General Conference brethren, having accused him as a heretic, denouncing his teaching as false doctrine, and depriving him of his position as a denominational worker, cannot thus withdraw from the field without answering for their treachery. As Paul stood on principle requiring the Philippian magistrates to appear at the jail in person to free the apostles, so Elder Jarnas is insisting that the General Conference men face the issue they have themselves created. Just how much time they will be given before the whole thing is published to the church, we do not know, of course. We think Elder Jarnas is acting well within the limits of patient forbearance. How the church at large will react is not known just yet either. It is becoming a matter of concern that our trust cannot be placed in men. Many will see in this situation a call to place their trust only in the Lord. Idols of clay are falling all around us. The call of God is to a putting away of sin and idolatry, and to a seeking for Him as never before.